closely followed by Cherry Park. The rest of the field strung out a long way behind. Into the last, with Squelch, Cherry Pie moving into second place, Domino weakening, dropping out. Now over the last, and on the run in, it's Squelch, with his stable companion Cherry Pie coming to challenge. Racing together, Cherry Pie going on, Squelch beginning to lose ground. And it's Cherry Pie winning easily from the odds-on favourite Squelch. Domino third, fourth a long way behind the Maker, followed by Dumpling, Dying Fly, Old Jazz, and finally Lock.
There'll be an inquiry. You mark my word. Stewart's inquiry.
Inquiry by Dick Francis. Dramatized by Barry Campbell. With Robert Lang, Jack May, Selina Cadell, and Tony Osoba as Kelly Hughes.
Yesterday, I lost my license. To a professional jockey, losing his license and being warned off Newmarket Heath is like being chucked off the medical register, only more so. Barred from racing, barred from race courses. Barred, moreover, from racing stables, which poses me quite a problem, as I live in one. No livelihood, and maybe no home. Yesterday, I lost my license. Lord Gowrie passed the sentence.
There can be no doubt that this was a most flagrant fraud on the racing public. Therefore, I have no alternative but to suspend both your licenses. Oh. Dexter Cranfield and you, Kelly Hughes, will be warned off Newmarket Heath until further notice.
I protest! This has not been a fair hearing. Neither Hughes or I are guilty. The sentence is outrageous.
Well, Hughes...
I wrote Squelch to win. The witnesses were lying.
This inquiry is closed. You may go.
Come on, Kelly. I've got a taxi waiting out the back. I don't imagine if you like chatting with reporters.
Not a lot, no.
Come on. So, what went wrong? You were so confident the stewards would find in your favour.
Too damn confident. We were idiots not to get ourselves a lawyer. I didn't know what questions to ask or how to cope with Lord Gowrie. He really had it in for us. Said it wasn't the first time, found six races in which I rode a favourite and one of Cranfield's other horses pipped me at the post.
Is that true?
Yeah. Over 8 years. We weren't exactly making a habit of it. But he decided we were guilty and that was that. We couldn't answer him.
You were making no effort to ride him out.
Indeed I was, sir. He was dead tired. You can see that on the film.
All I can see on the film is that you were making absolutely no effort to win.
But Squelch was dying under me. And if I hadn't been ruthless, he'd have slowed to a trot. The film shows quite clearly...
You didn't use your whip.
Sounds if he's got a thing about whips.
You're not joking. They were his main theme. He treated us to a film of a race at Reading, with me apparently beating the living daylights out of Squelch in order to get him to win.
You can see the horse quite clearly here. The black and white chevrons and black cap.
There, you see Hughes has forced his way through to the front just after the last fence and is riding a completely different finish from that which we saw in the last race. Thank you, Smathers. You will agree that you used your whip, Hugh, there?
Yes, sir. Which race did you say that was?
The last race at Reading. Don't pretend you don't know.
I agree that the film you've just shown was the last race at Reading, sir. But Squelch didn't run in the last race at Reading.
What?
The horse in that film was Wanderlust. He belongs to Mr. Kessel, Squelch's owner, so the colours are the same. And both horses are by the same sire, which accounts for their looking similar. But the horse you've just shown is Wanderlust, who does, as you saw, respond well if you wave a whip at him.
Hughes is quite right. That is Wanderlust.
Hmm? Well, has anyone got a form book, Tring,
no.
Feather?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. It seems that we have the wrong film. Squelch did run in the sixth race. However, it now appears that there were seven races on that day, a novice chase having been divided. Wanderlust won the seventh race. A perfectly understandable mix-up, I'm afraid.
Could we now, sir, see the right film? The sixth race at Reading, the one that Squelch won?
I don't think we have it here.
No,
however,
no,
we don't
sir.
Need it. It's immaterial. We're not considering the Reading result, but that at Oxford.
But, sir, if you watch Squelch's race, you will see that I rode him at Reading exactly as I did at Oxford, without using the whip.
That is beside the point. Because Squelch may not have needed the whip at Reading, but at Oxford he did.
Sir, it is the point. I rode the horse at Oxford in exactly the same manner as when he ran at Reading, only at Oxford he tired.
Well, now, we must not waste any more time. We have four witnesses, Mr. Here, and...
I did advise against sharing the Reading race, if you remember.
You agreed to say nothing, Firth. I should be obliged you would keep to that.
What was that about?
Don't know why Lord Firth was there. You usually only have three stewards. Huh? There was Gowrie, young Andy Tring, who didn't say much, and Lord Plimborn, whose only contribution was a couple of snores.
So Gowrie had it all his own way?
Yeah. Apart from Firth, there was some kind of undercurrent between the two of them. Sort of quiver in the air. I don't know.
Stewards are only men. You show me any organisation which doesn't have some sort of power struggle going on under its gentlemanly surface. All you've got was a whiff of the old brimstone.
Really?
Oh, thank God, here we are. Bit of luck, we'll make the 5:15. Thanks, keep a change.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The buffet car, which is situated in the middle of the train, it is now open for light refreshments, beer, snacks, and...
Cue for scotch. Two scotches, please.
Two scotches,
now, the only good thing about travelling by British Rail, we can drink out of ours.
Do you realise?
Thanks, John. The rest of the world has to wait another 13.5 minutes before we can have a drink. Here you are. Get that down. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
What I don't see is how he could warn you off just because you didn't beat the damn horse.
No, that wasn't all. There were plenty of witnesses. Twittering their heads off and lying in their bloody teeth.
Like who?
Like Charlie West.
What did he have to do with it?
He rode Domino, came in third. And he really dropped me in it. Can't say he needed a lot of prompting from Lord Gowrie either.
Well, sir, round the far side, sir, where the stands go out of sight, like, sir, for a few seconds. Well, there, sir, Hughes gives this hefty pull back on the reins.
Now, what did he say, West?
He said, sir, okay, brakes on, chaps.
Repeat that, please, West.
Hughes said, sir, okay, brakes on, chaps.
And what did you take him to mean by that?
Well, Mr. Trink, sir, he wasn't trying, like. He always says that when he's pulling one back and not trying, sir.
Always?
Well, something like that, sir.
Hughes, you may ask this witness questions if you wish.
Are you seriously saying that at any time during the Lemon Fizz Cup, I pulled Squelch back and said, okay, brakes on, chaps?
Yeah, you said it.
I did not.
I heard you.
Hughes, are you in the habit of using this phrase? Have you ever used it?
Not in a Lemon Fizz Cup, sir.
I said, Hughes, have you ever used it?
Yes, sir, I have used it. But not on Squelch in the cup. It was an amazing...
It is sufficient that you said it at all, Hughes. We will draw our own conclusions as to when you said it.
Why the hell did you admit to saying it?
Because I did once say brakes on, chaps.
What?
Not in a Lemon Fizz Cup, of course, but... A couple of weeks before, in that frightful novice chase at Oxford, when I rode that deadly bad jumper of Armand's. A bunch of us had got left about 20 lengths behind, and sleet was falling, and I didn't relish ending up with a broken bone at 0 degrees centigrade. So as we were handily out of sight of the stands, I shouted, OK, brakes on, chaps. And a whole lot of us eased up and finished the race a good deal slower than we could have done. That didn't affect the result, of course, but there you are. I did say it, and Charlie West heard me. He just shifted it from one race to another.
Ah, that bastard. What made him do it? Pure malice.
Yeah, there was certainly plenty of that. He really enjoyed giving evidence.
Yes, sir. You see, Hughes is such an artist at it, sir.
An artist? At what?
Well, sir, riding what looks like from a stands like one hell of a finish, sir, while all the time he's smothering it like mad.
You little liar.
You maintain, Wes, that Hughes is in the habit of not riding to win.
Yes, sir.
I never thought Charlie West was such a good liar.
No, nor would I. I don't believe he said all that off his own bat. I think he was got at.
No? By whom?
That's the million-dollar question. Whoever it was, he went to a great deal of trouble to get me warned off. And Cranfield, too.
Well, I suppose they couldn't do one of you without the other. You'd have to have let the trainer in on it. What do they have on Cranfield?
Oh, they'd found a bookie who had a story about a man in a brown trilby hat who put a bet on the Lemon Fizz Cup. I ask you, a brown trilby hat?
Yeah, there must be at least 2,000 of them at any race.
Well, if not 2 million. But that was a description that Mr. Newtonards came up with.
Biggish man in a fawn coat wearing a brown trilby hat. Middle-aged, I suppose. Perhaps he had a moustache. I can't remember, really. Anyway, he asked me what price I'd give him about cherry pie, and I told him.
So when cherry pie won, you paid out, huh?
Well, that's right. He put down 50 smackers, and I paid out 900. I'd laid a bit of it off, so that I was only left with a net loss on the race of £185.
We are not inquiring into how much you lost, Mr. Newton-Ards, but into the identity of the client who won on cherry pie.
Well, I don't know his name, my lord, but I do recall that I saw him talking to Mr. Cranfield before the first race.
Are you suggesting that I advise this client of yours to back cherry pie?
No, Mr. Cranfield, the suggestion is that the client was acting on your behalf, and that it was you yourself who backed cherry pie.
That's an absolute lie. Well, far from backing cherry pie, I back squelch. You can check with my own bookmaker.
Yes, yes, no doubt you did. It was quite beside the point.
My lord.
Mr. Cranfield, I have here an affidavit from a Mrs. Jones, who handled the £5 selling window on the totalisator on the day in question. She sold 10 win-only tickets for horse number 8, cherry pie, to a middle-aged man in a fawn raincoat wearing a Trilby hat. The tote paid him more than £1,100 in cash.
It's not good.
No, not good. But the worst is still to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, the train is now approaching
Reading. Save it till home.
Reading will be the next stop.
There.
Next stop, Reading.
Sadly, not even time for another drink.
Home! Sweet home!
But for how much longer? I'm not supposed to go near any stables, remember? I don't want to land you in the car to make you lose your license.
An Englishman's and even a Welshman's home, etc.? They can't throw you out on the street just because you've got the misfortune to have a flat above my stables. Bloody nonsense.
I don't know if I could stand it here anyway. Seeing and hearing the horses. Not being able to ride them. Slow form of Chinese torture.
What do you need?
Is another drink.
And me too, for that matter.
How's your supply of scotch?
Better come and see.
Right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, you tell me the rest of the sordid story. What else did they have to throw at you?
One Mr. David Oakley.
Who's he when he's at home?
Oh, I doubt if he has a home. Looks as if he'd crawled out from under some flat stone. He's an inquiry agent, and someone sent him round to this flat.
Acting upon instructions, I paid a visit to the flat of Kelly Hughes, jockey of Curry House Trading Stables, Berkshire, 2 days after the running of the Lemon Fizz Crystal Cup. Mr. Hughes was not there, but the door was open, so I went in to wait for him. While I was there, I made certain observations.
You found certain objects, I understand.
Yes, my lord.
Gentlemen, you each have an envelope in front of you containing a photograph. Will you please examine these photographs?
The photograph is of objects I found on a chest of drawers in Hugh's bedroom.
I want to see that photograph.
Oh, certainly. Smothers?
Yes, my lord.
As you see, gentlemen, the photograph shows a portrait of Hugh's late wife in a silver frame. Underneath the frame is a sheet of paper dated the day after the Lemon Fizz Cup. There are just three words written on it. As agreed and thanks. And it is signed with the initials DC. Beside the note, gentlemen, you see a large number of £10 notes.
It's a fake, a complete fake.
That is your handwriting, I believe, Mr. Cranfield.
I didn't write it. It's a fake. I never had a letter like
that. Mr. Oakley, please tell us where you found the money.
The money was folded in the note and both were tucked away behind the picture on the chest of drawers. In all, the notes amounted to £500.
And they really believed all that guff?
Fell for it hook, line and sinker. Who can blame them? He even had the photograph to prove it.
Yeah, but who sent him there?
Exactly. That's the question I should have asked.
You think the steward did?
No, it's not very likely, is it? The steward's hiring a private eye. Not cricket old men. And it's the teardrop to the Atlantic that they wouldn't have supplied him with 500 quid in a forged note and told him to photograph them somewhere distinctive in my flat. So who did do it?
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to find out, Tony. I'm going to find the sod who framed us.
Up the Marines. That whiskey's getting to you. That bottle's dead. Now it's time for bed, I guess. If you need my help with the campaign, you can count on my Welsh blood to the last drop, boy.
We come a long way from those Welsh mountains.
Oh, we're still cousins under the skin or something. Poppy said, come over if you feel lonely.
No, thanks. I'll stay here.
Well, we're only across the yard if you want anything. Company, food, dancing girls, titles like that.
Hey, mind you don't fall down the bloody stairs.
Cheers.
Join the gap.
So, you should have come out with us.
You must be joking.
Oh, sorry, Kelly.
Can't win them all. Good morning, Miss Cranfield.
Your door was open.
It's a habit I'll have to break.
Charming. Is this all pretty lush? Do all jockeys live like this?
Naturally. Would you like some coffee?
Coffee and cannabis?
Then you'll have to go elsewhere.
You're very prickly.
As a cactus.
I only said cannabis to jolt you.
I'm not jolted.
No, I can see that. Waste of effort. Well, you seem to be taking it all right.
What?
Being warned off. A cactus isn't in the same class. You're making it very difficult.
For you to say why you came?
Yes. I thought I knew you. Now it seems I don't.
What did you expect?
Well, Father said you came from a farm cottage with pigs running in and out of the door.
Father exaggerates. Hens, not pigs.
Actually hens? You don't look like
I know exactly what you mean. And it's high time you got rid of those chains.
Chains?
The fetters in your mind. The iron bars in your soul.
My mind is all right.
Oh, you must be joking. It's chock-a-block with ideas, half a century out of date.
I didn't come here to
be insulted?
I wasn't going to say that.
What did you come here for?
I wanted you to help me.
To do what?
To cope with Father. He's so shattered. Here you are, going about as cool as you please, as if nothing had happened. Maybe you don't understand how anyone needs help when life's become an absolute bloody hell. Anyway, Father, my father needs help.
Not from me. He doesn't think enough of me to give it any value.
And it looks as though he's right.
Ouch. What sort of help, then?
I want you to drive over and talk to him. Now, unless you have anything else to do. Will you come? Please?
All right.
Great. Let's go, then. Oh, this photograph. That's your wife, isn't it? I remember her. She was always very sweet to me. I was really awfully sorry when she was killed.
She wasn't bad, as wives go.
Right. I'll drive you over, then.
No, thanks. I'll take my own car. Hello, Archie.
Oh, hi. Well, this is a god-awful business, Kelly. I mean, it's wicked. That's what it is. Downright bloody wicked.
And the horses are going, then?
Some of the owners have sent boxes already. I mean, all of them will be gone by the day after tomorrow. And all the lads have just got a sack.
Not you, though, surely.
Aye, even me. Just when we've taken out a mortgage in one of those new houses up the road. And now, well, I just won't be able to keep up the payments. I mean, it isn't as if the governor really fiddled the bloody race. Anyone could see that cherry pie was going to be good someday.
Oh, so there you are. I thought you ratted.
Morning, Miss Cranfield.
Hello, Archie.
I thought I'd have a look around the yard. Oh, I'll be seeing you, Archie.
Right, Kelly. See you. Charlie.
I can't bear to come here anymore, nor can Father. He just won't move out of his study.
Bad as that, huh? Okay, lead the way.
So you've come then, Hughes. Roberta said she was going to fetch you. What good you can do, I just can't think.
Really, Mark?
After all, it was you who got us into this mess.
I? What?
If you'd ridden a better race on Squelch, none of this would have happened. Dexter was thoroughly shocked to hear that you'd been in the habit of deliberately losing races.
So was I.
Mother, do stop it. Come along, Hughes. This way. He just sits like that for hours. Father, Kelly Hughes is here.
Tell him to go and shoot himself.
I'll be downstairs. Don't go without telling me.
All right. Where's the gun?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, hand it over. Look, Cranfield, I know you've got one. Do
we have to play these games? Well, well. Not very well hidden. Both barrels loaded. Very messy. Very inconsiderate. Tut. Tut.
What are you doing here?
Telling you to snap out of it. There's work to be done.
Don't speak to me like that.
How then? It's useless sitting here sulking. Someone took our toys away. Very unfair. There's nothing to be gained by grizzling in corners.
Toys? You're talking nonsense.
Toys, licenses, what's the difference? The things we prized most. Someone snatched them away, and nobody else but us can get them back again.
We can apply.
Oh, yes, in 6 months' time, I suppose. But there's no guarantee we'd get them. The only sensible thing to do is to start fighting back, right now, and find out who fixed us, who and why.
It's not so bad for you.
Oh, that's perfectly true. I came in through the yard. Archie seems to be doing everything himself. And he's very worried about the house.
So?
So it wouldn't hurt you to pay his mortgage for a while.
Oh. Oh,
it's nothing to you. It's life or death to him. If you lose Archie, you'll never get so many winners again.
Oh.
A trainer is as good as his lad.
That's stupid.
You've got good lads now that you've cleared out the rough and the lazy ones. You might get your license back, but you won't get those lads back.
Oh, what else can I do?
You could try keeping them on for a month.
Oh, the wages come to £400 a week.
You would have to dig very deep into your own pocket. There must be quite a lot to come in training fees. And anyway, it might not take that long to get our licenses
back.
Oh,
don't be so bloody ridiculous. Anyway, what's the point? It's all hopeless. Couldn't have happened at a worse time. Edwin Byler was going to send me his horses.
Byler?
Yes, Byler, the multimillionaire. He telephoned to say it's all off. His horses are staying where they are at Jack Roxford's.
All the more point, then. What more do you want in the way of incentive? I'd sell my soul to ride one of those horses. You're throwing away everything without a struggle. Not only what you've got, but what you might have. Byler's got the best string of steeplechasers in Britain. Why in the hell can't you behave like a gentleman and show some spirit?
Oh, God, use!
All right, then. I'll tell you why you won't. Because to some degree you are, in fact, guilty. You made sure Squelch wouldn't win, and you backed Cherry Pie.
How dare you!
Frankly, just now I dare practically anything.
You said we were framed.
So we were, but you handed us away on a plate. You gave Squelch too much work too soon before the race. He lost the race on the gallops at home. I rode Squelch, remember?
I didn't mean to overtrain Squelch. I didn't realise it until afterwards. I did back him, just as I said at the inquiry.
But you backed Cherry Pie as well.
Yes. Trainers are often caught out, as you know, when one of their horses suddenly develops its true form. Well, I thought Cherry Pie might just be one of those, so I backed him on the off chance.
Why didn't you back him with your usual bookmaker?
I didn't want Squelch's owner to know I'd backed Cherry Pie, in case he did win instead of Squelch. Kessel's a funny man. He takes everything so personally. We use the same bookmaker, you see.
But why did you lie about it at the inquiry?
What else was there to do?
What indeed? Telling the truth didn't do me much good. Still, no trainer should lose his license because he didn't tell the world he had a flyer. And at least the winning means that you have a fighting fund.
There's no point in fighting.
You'd make a marshmallow look like granite. You're so soft. I presume that you do want your license back.
There isn't a chance.
If you keep the lads on for 1 month, I'll get it back for you. No? Well, I'm going to try. I'll let you know how I get on.
Wait. I don't believe you can do it. But as you're so cocksure, I'll make a bargain with you. I'll pay the lads for 2 weeks. If you want me to keep them on for another 2 weeks after that, you can pay them yourself.
Okay.
Listen, all of you. I want you to know that your notice to leave is withdrawn for 1 month.
What?
Oh, yeah. Hughes here thinks that we can prove ourselves innocent and recover our licenses. In order to help me keep the stable together while he makes inquiries, he has agreed to contribute one half of your wages for the next month.
Whoa.
Therefore, I should be obliged if you would all stay.
You really mean it, Kelly?
As long as you don't all spend a month fixing up to go somewhere else at the end of it.
What do you take us for?
Cynics.
Can you really do it?
Do what?
get your licenses back.
It's going to cost me too much not to, so I guess I'll have to. Or...
Or what?
Or die in the attempt. Fine words, Kelly. But how do you think you're going to do it? Question the witnesses? What do I ask them?
Excuse me, I want a word with you.
Who are you pushing, Charlie?
Kelly, what do you want?
Much as you deserve it, Charlie, I haven't come to beat you up. I just want a few words about my being warned off. And don't try to put me off. I've searched a whole bloody town looking for you, and I'm tired and I'm angry.
What's all this in aid of anyway? I don't know anything.
You must do. Unless you tell those lies about me out of sheer personal spite.
I'm not telling you.
Then I'll tell you something, you lout.
Don't talk to my Charlie like that.
Your Charlie is a vicious little liar who would sell you two for 50 quid.
It wasn't 50 quid, it was 500, so there.
Shut up, you stupid bitch.
You lied my licence away for a measly 500 quid? Now tell me, who paid you?
I don't know. I don't know, honest. I never saw the bloke he phoned.
How did he pay you?
In £1 notes, 100 came the day before the inquiry, and I was to get the rest.
You were to get the other 400 if I was warned off, huh? And have you got the other £400?
No, but it'll come.
Of course it won't come, you stupid fool. Now, this man who phoned, did it occur to you, ask why he wanted me warned off?
Well, I said you hadn't done anything to warn me, and he said, you never know, supposing one day he does. Anyway, 500 quid, I mean, I don't earn as much as you, you know.
But you're only 20, what do you expect? Well, Charlie, you'll be wise to spend that money very carefully, because believe me, it's going to be the most expensive £100 you've ever earned.
Kelly, don't you threaten me.
And when you lose your licence for this, and I'll see that you do, you'll have plenty of time to understand that it serves you right.
That was great. So I now know the reason he lied. 500 quid in his petty jealousy. Where does that get me? I'm not exactly the world's greatest detective. What about David Oakley?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Crisp. I made an appointment by telephone to see Mr. Oakley.
Oh. Charles Crisp, 11:30. A divorce, wasn't it?
That's right.
Oh, this way, please.
Nice place we've got here.
Suits us.
Come in.
Is Mr. Crisp?
I'll wait in just a second.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sit down, Mr. Crisp. Divorce, I believe. Well, you'll just have to give me the details.
I understood that you would be prepared to fake some evidence for me. Photographs.
Get out.
How much do you charge for faking
evidence? Get out.
I just want to know how much I'm worth.
Dust.
I'll pay you in gold dust if you tell me who gave you the job.
No. This is not Mr. Crisp. This is a Mr. Kelly Hughes. Mr. Hughes will be leaving.
Mr. Hughes is not ready.
I think Mr. Hughes will find he is.
Very dramatic.
And it is loaded.
Is it easy to dispose of bodies in the centre of Birmingham?
Yes.
For a fee, of course.
Well, should you decide, after all, to sell me the information I need, you know where to find me.
I may have a liking for gold dust, but I'm not a fool.
Opinions differ.
It is not in my interest that you should prove you were, shall we say, set up.
I understand that. Eventually, however, you will wish that you hadn't helped to do it.
A number of people have said much the same thing. Well, few, I must confess, as quietly as you. And now, if you'll excuse
me... It surprises me that you're not in jail.
I'm clever. My clients are satisfied. And people like you, impotent.
Someone will kill you one day.
Will you?
Not worth it.
Exactly. The jobs I accept are never what the victim would actually kill me for. Well, nice to have met you, Mr. Hughes. Don't come back.
Perhaps I should just give it all up and emigrate to Australia. Except what's the point? My banishment extends even to there. Oh, come on, Kelly, don't give in. There must be someone who has something on Oakley.
Excuse me, Mr. Dewar, but I'd be very grateful for a word with you.
Well, Kelly?
Look, I'm sorry to bother you, but... You're the only man I know who has sufficient contacts in the right places to be able to help me.
And how can I do that?
Do you know anything about a man called David Oakley? He's an inquiry agent, operates here in Birmingham.
David Oakley? Can't say I've ever heard of him.
He manufactured some evidence which swung things against me at the steward's inquiry on Monday.
Manufactured?
I know it sounds corny, but he was not guilty as charged. Someone,
David Oakley made it look like it by faking some evidence.
Well, I don't understand why you've come to me.
Well, I want to know how people are steered towards David Oakley if they want some evidence faked. I thought that among all the people you know, you might be able to think of someone who could perhaps pretend he wanted a job done and throw out some feelers to see if anyone finally recommended Oakley, and if so, who.
I see, yes. Because if you found one contact, you might work back from there to another and eventually perhaps to a name which meant something to you.
I suppose it does sound a bit feeble, but...
Well, it's an outside chance. All the same, I do know of someone who might agree to try.
That's marvellous.
Oh, can't promise results, though.
Well, who's left? Newtonards. Suppose there's an outside chance he's not at the races and is in his shop. Just a chance there's something he could tell me.
Kelly Hughes. What are you doing here?
I'd like a word with you.
Well, I haven't time now. Nothing I can say will help you.
Could you tell me how it was that you came to be asked to give evidence against Mr. Cantwell?
I received an official letter asking me to attend.
But why? I mean, how did the stewards know about Cranfield's bet on cherry pie? Did you write and tell them?
I hear that you're maintaining you were framed.
News travels fast. Well, how did the stewards know about Cranfield's bet?
I don't know.
Who else besides you knew that you believed Cranfield had backed Cherry Pie?
He did back him.
All right. Who else besides you knew?
Well, I told a few of the lads. I was angry about it. And maybe one of them passed words to the stewards.
Can you think of anyone who has a grudge against Cranfield?
No more than against any other trainer who tries it on.
But he doesn't. I should know. I ride his horses.
Yes, you should. Oh, look, don't come here with me.
Well, you believed I pulled Scrubs, then, huh?
Well, it stands to reason.
You bookmakers are too suspicious for your own good.
Hard experience proves us right. Now, will you please let me get on with my work?
Mr. Newton, next time you're at the race, if you see the man who put on the money for Mr. Cranfield, will you find out who he is and tell me, please?
Why not ask Cranfield?
No, he said he didn't want to involve him.
But you do.
Yes, I think I do.
Oh, look, son, why don't you just quieten down and take it? So you got copped. You'll get your license back eventually.
Well, thanks for the advice. Bye.
Isn't there anyone who can help? Or anyone who believes I didn't do it?
Morning, Tony.
Morning. Still festering in your pit? Some of us with hangovers have been up since a crack trying to scrape a living.
Help yourself.
Bloody cold on the downs this morning. Just come to say, Poppy's not feeling too well. We can't go to the dance tonight.
Hmm. What dance is that, then?
Jockey's fun dance. We were going to go together, remember?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Oh, no, I couldn't face it. Not tonight, no.
Oh, come on, Kelly.
Look, Tony.
You're indulging yourself. What are you doing? You're indulging yourself. Now, get off your backside
look,
and
Tony,
do it.
Look, I feel a bit down this morning. Tell you the truth.
What happened?
Well, I had a letter from me, Dar. He goes on a bit, you know. You're a damn disgrace, boy. It's no good saying you didn't do it. Not when them lords and such said you did it.
Oh, God.
He even goes so far as to say not to send him any more money.
Oh, God. Well, he was always a man of stony principles, your dad.
He certainly is.
Oh, what are you going to do? You can't sit here being Liberace all day, for God's sake. You must do something.
What else can I do? I followed up the leads I thought might be able to help. I've spoken to the people I thought might be able to...
Look, if you sit here... festering away, you're going to get nowhere. You must put your face about. Why don't you go to the dance tonight? By yourself and face it out.
You know, you might be right. I shall go to the ball.
Right, Cinders. I'll go and get the tickets.
Hello, Roberta. You're looking very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Is your father here?
No, he couldn't face it. Nor could Mother.
Why not?
Well, just look around.
At a rough guess, 50 people must be gawping at you. The
Doesn't it make you cringe in Sally? I've had quite enough of it myself this evening, and I didn't even see the damned race, let alone get myself warned off. Come and dance with me, Hughes. If we're hoisting the flag, we may as well do it thoroughly.
On one condition. That you stop calling me Hughes.
What?
Cranfield, I'm tired of being called Hughes.
Oh, well then, Kelly, how about dance?
Enchanted.
John, it's Kelly Hughes.
What the devil's he doing?
Cranfield. Must have a skin like a rhinoceros.
I hear Hughes is maintaining he was framed.
Well, he would, wouldn't he?
I think my mother wanted me to work in a town hall. Very responsible.
You haven't a Welsh accent. You haven't any accent at all, considering you're only... Sorry.
I smothered my accent deliberately. I used to practice in secret, copying the BBC News announcers.
Well, Monica told me in the loo that Hughes intends to get his licence back.
Oh, never in a month of Sundays. Hughes and Cranfield were called fair and square. What the hell's he doing here anyway?
Scared stiff of you when I came to see you last week.
You were what?
Well, you always seem to look so unapproachable.
Are we talking about me or you?
You, of course.
You wouldn't think they'd have the nerve, would you? Look at them dancing.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I can't stand this any longer. Yeah. Come on, let's find the bar.
Good idea.
You're Roberta Cranfield, aren't you?
Excuse us, please, Mrs.
Oh, Brunsworth. No, you don't. Not till I've had my say.
Grace, dear, leave it. Oh. Come sit down, Grace.
Your father's got exactly what he deserves, and I can tell you I'm glad. He's a bloody snob, your father, and he's got what he deserves. Well, you tell him that.
Excuse me.
No, I won't excuse you. Your bloody snob of a father was trying to get Edwin Byler's horses away from us. Did you know that? Did you?
Grace, dear, please.
Oh, shut up, Jack. Trying to persuade Edwin that he needed a top draw trainer, not poor folk like us who won rows of races for him. Ha! Well, I could have laughed my head off when I heard he'd been had up. Serves him right. What a laugh.
Cheer up, Mrs. Roxford. You've got what you want, so why the fury?
As for you, Hughes, you asked for what you got, and don't give me any of that crap we've been hearing about you being framed, because you bloody well know you weren't. People like you and Cranfield think you can get away with murder, but you can't. See? Mr. Clever Bloody Dick.
Oh.
You tell your bloody snob of a father it's a great big laugh in being warned off.
Please, come away. Come on,
let
Robert.
Me go. A great big bloody laugh. Bloody laugh.
Oh, she's awful.
Not much help to poor old Jack.
I do hate scenes. They're so messy.
Do you think all strong emotions are messy?
Not the same thing at all. You can have strong emotions without making a scene. Scenes are disgusting.
That one was. Uh-oh, careful. Here's Kessel.
That's a nice scene, I must say. Well, you can tell your father that I've been thinking of sending my horses to Pat Nikita. It's a pity I didn't do it long ago. I stayed with your father out of a mistaken sense of loyalty, and look how he's repaid me.
Father has won a great many races for you, and if Squelch had been good enough to win the Lemon Fizz Cup, he would have done.
Squelch was good enough. As for you, Hughes, I can't think why you were allowed in tonight. It's a bloody disgrace, and don't think you can fool me by spreading rumours you're innocent. Paying Cranfield's lad's wages. Everyone's talking about it and saying you'll soon get your licence back. Well, that's all bloody piffle, and you know it. And if you've got any ideas you can reinstate yourself with me that way, you're bloody well mistaken.
Pat, dear God.
There you go, Squelch.
Look, he'll soon be apologising and sending him back.
No, not a hope. Kessel's not the humble pie kind, and Pat Nikita will never let go of that horse. It's his chance to get his own back on your father.
Why are people so jealous of each other?
Born in them, and almost universal.
You've got a poor opinion of human nature.
An objective opinion. There's as much good as bad.
You can't be objective about being warned off.
No.
No.
Oh, there he is.
Who? Well, the person you've come to see. Who is it?
Lord Gowrie.
No, Kelly.
I just want to talk to him.
It can't do any good.
You never know.
Look, would you mind very much if I took you back to your table now?
No, that's all right. Look, I'll find my own way. But listen, you won't say anything silly, will you, Kelly? Remember, it's Father's license as well.
Kelly, I just wanted to catch you. Say how sorry I am that Grace went off the deep end like that. She's not herself, poor girl. I do apologise, Miss Cranfield.
That's quite all right, Mr. Roxford.
Kelly, if it's really true that you were both framed, I do sincerely hope that you get your licences back. I mean...
Thank you, Jack.
I know there was a risk that Edwin Byler would take his horses to your father, Miss Cranfield. But he did tell me tonight that he won't do so now. Please believe me, I hold no grudge against either of you. Not like poor Grace. I do hope you'll forgive her.
Oh, of course. Please, don't give it another thought.
Thanks.
Oh, perhaps you'd be kind enough to walk me back to my table. Kelly has to talk to Lord Gowrie.
I see. Oh, yes, of course.
See you later, Kelly.
Hughes, you shouldn't be here.
This isn't Newmarket Heath, my lord.
Incidents will get you nowhere, Hughes.
You'll never get your license back if you behave like this.
Does justice depend on good manners, my lord?
I should have thought some sense of shame would have kept you away.
It took a bit of an effort to come.
As for spreading these rumours, I say categorically that you're not only not on the point of being given your license back, but that your suspension will be all the longer in consequence of your present behaviour.
It is no rumour that Mr. Cranfield and I are not guilty. It is no rumour that at least two of the witnesses were lying. These are facts.
Nonsense.
What you believe, sir, doesn't alter the truth.
You're doing yourself no good, Hughes.
Would you be good enough to tell me who suggested to you or the other stewards that you should seek out and question Mr. Newtonart?
Certainly not.
Then will you tell me upon whose instructions the inquiry agent, David Oakley, visited my flat?
I will not.
What's all this about?
Mr. Cranfield and I were wrongly warned off. Someone sent David Oakley to my flat to fake that photograph, and I believe Lord Gowrie knows who it was.
I most certainly do not. You want to be sued for slander?
I have not slandered you,
you
sir.
You said...
I said you knew who sent David Oakley. I did not say that you knew the photograph was a fake.
And it wasn't.
Well, sir, it was.
I'm not going to stay here. Listen to this.
May I talk to you, Lord Firth?
Yes, I think you'd better, Hugh.
My lord, if you look at the inquiry from my point of view for a minute, it's quite simple. I know that I never had that £500 or any note from Mr. Cranfield. Therefore, I am obviously aware that David Oakley was lying. It's unbelievable that the stewards should have sent him, since the evidence he produced was faked. So someone else did. I thought Lord Gowrie might know, so I asked him.
He said he didn't know.
I don't altogether believe him.
That's preposterous.
Are you intending to say, sir, that men in powerful positions are invariably truthful?
Where did you go to school, Hughes?
Tenby Grammar. And the London School of Economics.
Good God! What did you read there?
Politics, philosophy and economics.
How on earth did you become a jockey?
Almost by accident. My father's a farmhand, so I was brought up with horses.
Ah.
During my last long vac, I took a job with a Devon farmer. He had a permit, and I used to ride his chases out at exercise. And then he put me up at one of the Devon meetings. Well, almost at once, I started winning. And then, well, it just took hold of me.
Hughes, I don't know what to think. At first, I was sure that you were not the type to stop squints deliberately, but then there was all that damning evidence. Charlie West saying that you had deliberately pulled back.
Charlie was mistaken.
It didn't sound like it.
I've had it out with Charlie since.
Has he? And what was it you asked Lord Gowrie about Newtonart?
Well, Newtonart didn't volunteer the information to the stewards about Mr. Cranfield backing Cherry Pie. But someone told the stewards, and I want to know who.
Are you suggesting that it was the same person who sent Oakley to your flat?
It might be. Not necessarily. Sir?
What is it?
My lord, I don't want to offend you, but would you mind telling me why you sat in at the inquiry? Why there were four of you and not three? When Lord Gowrie, if you'll forgive me for saying so, was obviously not too pleased with the arrangement.
You're being uncommonly tactful all of a sudden.
Yes, sir.
I cannot give you my reasons for attending.
Ah, but you had some reservations as to how the inquiry would be conducted.
I didn't say that.
Lord Gowrie chose Andrew Tring to sit with him at the hearing. I have since discovered that Tring wants a very big business concession from Lord Gowrie just now. And he chose Lord Plimborne as the third steward, and he had some difficulty in keeping awake.
Do you realise what you are saying?
I want to know how Lord Gowrie acquired all that evidence against us. I want to know why the steward sent for the wrong film, and I want to know why Lord Gowrie was so biased, so deaf to our denials, so determined to warn us off.
That's slanderous.
I want you to ask him.
But then
he might tell you. Never in a million years would he tell me.
Hughes, you surely don't expect
me to... That wasn't a straight trial, and he knows it. I'm just asking you to tackle him with it, to see if he will explain.
I can't possibly do it.
And please...
If you have one, use a tape recorder.
I told you I...
Yes, sir. I know you did.
Lord Garrett indeed to them.
Oh, he's crunching the bones at this very minute.
Kelly, if you've done any damage...
No omelets without smashing eggs, love. Anyway, I'm glad you're here.
Well, hasn't exactly been the best jockey's fun dance of my life, but I'm glad I came.
Next year it'll all be over, and everyone will have forgotten.
I'll dance with you again next year.
It's a pact. Good night, Roberta.
Good night, Kelly.
Roberta Cranfield. Not my idea of a cuddly bedmate. Too cold. Too controlled. Too proud. Funny, it doesn't go with all that copper hair, all that rigidity. Maybe she's only like that with me. A farm labourer's son and a jockey. Kelly, old son, you've got a fair-sized chip on your shoulder. Anyway, even if she does think like that, why let it bother you? Did I go too far with Firth, I wonder? Will he or won't he? That Mrs. Roxford, poor dear Grace. What a life Jack must lead. Steady, steady. Keep your mind on the road. The road. Can't be the drink. One glass of champagne. Oh, God, I'm tired. Slow down. Soon be home. And then to bed. And sleep. Sleep. Oh, no good. Oh, well. That settles it. Can't stay here. Ought to pull into the side. It's funny. Where is the side? Ought to... Oh, something wrong. Very wrong. Must get out of the car. Get out. Oh, that's better. Earth's trembling. That's bloody funny. Earth doesn't tremble. What?
Kelly? 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 Kelly?
Ruining your dress.
That doesn't matter.
Rosalind, it...
Oh, Kelly. Kelly?
Brakes on, chaps. Brakes on. Brakes on.
Hughes is such an artist at strangling a horse, sir. He's such an artist.
There ought to be an inquiry. Racing
together. On off, Newmarket Heath.
Wound off. Not. And it's Cherry Pie when he lives
the
Well, well. You had a lucky escape, old chap.
Yes. Yes, I did, Doc.
Luckier than you imagine. We took a blood test. Actually, we took two blood tests. The first one for alcohol, with practically negative results. Now, this interested us, because who, except a drunk, would stop a car on a level crossing, then get out and lean against it.
Level crossing?
The casualty doctor told us you swore you hadn't been drinking last night, and anyway you seemed sober enough to him, but that you'd had a bad headache. Well, we gave you a bit of thought. Looked at those very bright scarlet stains on your shirt and tested your blood again. And there it was.
What?
Carboxyhemoglobin.
What?
Carbon monoxide poisoning to you.
But I thought one simply blacked out.
It depends. If you get a large dose all at once, that would happen. But a trickle would affect you more slowly. Gradual symptoms. You obviously had quite a dangerous concentration of CO in any case.
I must have been driving for half an hour.
It's a wonder you stopped at all. Didn't just crash.
Oh, I nearly did. On a bend.
Didn't you smell the exhaust fumes?
I didn't notice. Well, what's the damage?
Oh, not much now. You were lucky. You had multiple dislocations. Hip, knee and ankle. Never seen all three before. Very interesting.
Really?
Unique sort of accident. No direct force involved. Air impact. Sort of blew or stretched you apart. Oh, you can put plaster on your knee and ankle, but it can come off in 3 or 4 weeks. Oh, sorry. It's been a long night.
Yes, it has, rather.
Sorry we couldn't have you, but Poppy's sick again.
I'd rather be home.
Do you want anything? I'll fetch you some food later.
Oh, thanks. Could you pass the telephone over here?
Sure. Where do you want it?
Here, on the bedside table.
Right then, I'll be off. Promised Poppy I'd do the supermarket.
I believe they've got a special offer on scotch this week.
What?
Oh, nothing. That you didn't hear the first time.
Hickson's Garage?
Hello, Derek. It's me, Kelly Hughes.
Oh, Mr. Hughes. Your beautiful car. I heard about it.
Yeah. Look, Derek, is there any way the exhaust gas could get into the car through the heater?
Well, not the way I looked after it. Anyway, they take special care not to let that happen at the design stage.
Derek, could you possibly go and have a look at my car? Or what's left of it? According to the police, all the bits have to stay at the Crossways garage until the insurance people have seen them. But you know the car, you service it. It would be easier for you to spot something.
Well, you mean, well, there might be something wrong with it?
Oh, I don't know, but I'd like to find out.
It'll cost you.
Never mind that.
Okay, I'll go first thing in the morning.
Good lad. Come in.
Good morning, Kelly. I've bought you some food.
Oh, that's good of you.
Well, you look comfortable enough.
Oh, I am. Just bored.
But why on earth did you stop on the railway?
I didn't know it was a railway until too late.
It was very nasty seeing you like that, I can tell you.
Yes, it wasn't too nice for me. I called you Rosalind.
I know. Did you think I was her?
No, it just came out. I meant to say Roberta. Hello?
Hughes, Firth here. I read about your accident in the papers. I hope you're well.
Yes, thank you, my lord.
Are you in any shape to come to London?
I've got a leg and plaster, I'm afraid.
I'll drive down then. It's Haringey's old place, isn't it?
Yes, I live in a flat over the yard.
Right. Expect me at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Not now, Hughes. This afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hughes. How's the leg?
Stagnating. I can just about hop around comfortably now.
Good, good. Well, now, to business. I went to see Lord Garry, and I can see no reason not to tell you straight away that you and Dexter Cranfield will have your warnings off rescinded within the next few days.
Do you mean it?
As I see it, there is no alternative. There will be a quiet notice to that effect in the racing calendar.
Well, that is, of course, all you need tell me.
True. But not all you want to know.
No.
No one has a better right. And yet, you will have to use your discretion about whether you tell Dexter Cranfield.
All right.
I did use a small tape recorder, as you suggested. The conversation took place on Monday afternoon at Lord Gower's flat. We were alone. He knew, though, that I was making a recording. He was defensive at first and very plausible, and then he did say something that made me think. It was when we were talking about West's evidence.
Norman, about the jockey, West. It is clear from the transcription that you knew what the evidence would be. However, at the preliminary inquiry, West said nothing at all about Hughes having pulled his horse back. The Oxford stewards confirmed that. So, how did you know what he was going to say at the inquiry?
Well done, Your Lordship.
Did you instruct a stipendiary steward to interview him privately?
No.
Then how did you know what West was going to say?
I did instruct a stipendary steward to look up all the races in which Cranfield had run two horses and compile me a list of all the occasions when the lesser backed one had won. It was all there in black and white. It was quite true. They've been doing it again and again.
What do you mean? It was quite true. Did someone tell you they'd been doing it again and again?
What the hell doesn't he answer?
How about David Oakley, the inquiry agent who photographed the money at Hughes' flat? Mm. Who suggested that he should go there? Norman, you really must give some explanation.
The evidence against Hughes and Cranfield was collected. Well, what does it matter who collected it?
Because Hughes asserts that much of it was false.
No, it was not false.
Norman, is that what you believe or what you want to believe? Are there any reason why you wanted Cranfield and Hughes walled off?
No.
Any reason why you should go so far as to manufacture evidence against them?
How can you say that? You're suggesting something so dishonorable. I tell you, the evidence was genuine.
You are still trying to convince yourself that it was?
No.
Then where did it come from?
I was sent a package.
Uh-huh.
It contained various statements and six copies of a photograph taken at Hughes' flat.
Who sent it?
I don't know.
You don't know? You warned off two men on the strength of it, and you don't know where it came from? You just accepted all that so-called evidence on its face value?
It was all true.
Have you still got the package?
Yes, it's here in the drawer. Yes. There it is.
Hmm. I see. Yes. These papers do look very convincing.
Then you see why I acted on them.
I can see why you should consider doing so after making a careful check.
I did check. The package came 4 days before the inquiry, on the Thursday before. I had the secretary send out the summons to Newton Ards, Oakley and West immediately. Newton Ards was asked to bring his records for the Lemon Fizz Cup. But then I got someone to check with the tote people if anyone had backed Cherry Pie substantially. There was absolutely no doubt whatever that Cranfield had backed Cherry Pie. Mm-hmm. He lied about it in the inquiry. That made it quite conclusive. He was entirely guilty, and there was no reason why I should not wall him off.
What do you say to that?
Cranfield did back Cherry Pie.
Yes.
He was stupid to deny it. But he also put £250 on Squelch.
You didn't know he'd backed Cherry Pie at the inquiry?
Oh, I tackled him about it later. It struck me that it had to be true, however hard he tried to deny it. Newtonards might have lied or altered his books, but no one can argue against tote tickets.
Yes, quite. That was one of the things that convinced me, too.
Hmm.
This photograph of the money at Hughes' flat, didn't it seem at all odd to you?
Why should it?
Didn't you ask yourself how it came to be taken?
No.
Hughes says Oakley took the money and the note with him and simply photographed them in his flat.
No.
How could you be so sure?
No.
Who sent Oakley to Hughes' flat?
I don't know.
But you are sure that it is a genuine photograph?
Yes, yes, it is.
You are sure? Beyond a doubt?
Yes.
He's lying.
Why?
It had to be true. I said at first I couldn't warn them off if they weren't guilty. And then the package came. It was such a relief. They really were guilty. I could warn them off. And everything would be all right. If I tell you from the beginning, perhaps you will understand. It began the day after I was appointed to substitute for the disciplinary steward of the Cranfield Hughes inquiry. I had a telephone call. This man said I must warn Cranfield off.
It was a setup.
I told him I would do no such thing unless Cranfield was guilty. Then he said that he knew things about me, enough to ruin me socially, and he would tell everyone, and that my life wouldn't be worth living if Cranfield got off. I said again that I would not warn Cranfield off unless I was convinced of his guilt. At that time, I didn't think he was guilty. I had an open mind.
when I told this chap that I would not be blackmailed and put the receiver down.
And then you began to worry?
Yes.
But you stuck to your guns.
I was desperately worried. How could I take Cranfield's livelihood away just to save myself? I couldn't see myself living with it. And in any case, I couldn't just warn him off just like that if there was no proof of his guilt. So I did worry. I couldn't sleep or eat.
And then the package came.
Yes. Oh, I didn't realize it might have been the blackmailer who'd sent the package. I didn't wonder very much who had sent it. It was such a heaven-sent release, and I was so grateful.
When did you begin to doubt?
Not until afterwards. It was Hughes at that dance. He would tell me he was insisting that he'd been framed. And then he asked me who had sent Oakley to his flat. I realized what I'd done. Inside, I did know, but I couldn't admit it to myself. They had to be guilty. You'll see to it that they get their licenses back.
Yes.
I'll resign.
From the disciplinary committee, I agree. As to the rest, well, we will see.
Do you think the blackmailer will tell everyone when Cranfield gets his license back?
What does he hold over you?
Oh, God.
He was breaking down. One couldn't record that. He told me what he was being blackmailed about. I am prepared to tell you, but you only.
I won't repeat it.
Apparently, he belongs to a sort of club. He suffers from unacceptable sexual appetites. Flatulation and so forth.
That old thing.
Kelly.
Oh, much more widespread than most people imagine.
You take it very coolly.
Live and let live. If that's what they feel compelled to do, and they're not harming anyone. If they're in a club where everyone else is of the
but
same...
But he's a steward of the jockey club. It's not on. I can see he would be finished in the racing world if this got out.
Don't they wear masks at this sort of club?
Ah, yes. I imagine so.
But somebody recognised him. Someone may have seen him going in or leaving.
That's what he thinks. Doesn't know the names of his fellow members. Call each other fanciful names, apparently.
There must be a secretary with a list of members.
No, I asked him that. Said he'd never given his name to anyone there. Anyway, now you will understand why he accepted the package at its face value.
And why he chose Andrew Tring and Lord Plimborne.
And why he is now a very worried and a troubled man.
How are you going to explain away giving our licenses back?
We never have to give reasons for our decisions.
Yes, I had noticed.
Hughes, a scandal of this sort would do racing a great deal of harm.
You want me to take back my license and shut up?
Yes.
And not chase after the blackmailer in case he blows the gaff?
Exactly.
No. You see, he tried to kill me.
Good God!
Someone at that dance tampered with my car, hence those crutches. That means our blackmailer is one of about 600 people. Rule out the women, that leaves 300 men.
Are the police involved in this?
If you mean, are they investigating an attempted murder, then no, they are not. If you mean, am I going to ask them to investigate, then I haven't decided.
Once you start the police on something, you can't stop them.
If, on the other hand, I don't start them, the blackmailer might well have another go at me, with just a little more success. Do you really think it would be best for racing if we just leave this blackmailing murderer romping around free?
Better than a full-blown scandal.
All right, then. No police. We'll have to do it ourselves. Find him and deal with him. I'll find him, you deal with him.
To your satisfaction, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And Lord Gowrie?
He's yours entirely. I shan't tell Cranfield anything at all.
Very well. And now I must go. Perhaps one day, soon, when all this is over, you'll dine with me.
I'd like to. Thank you, my lord. Kelly Hughes.
Mr. Hughes, I've been to look at the car. You've never seen nothing like it. Smashed to fragments. Still, I had a look.
And?
Well, there's this bit of the exhaust manifold. Cast iron, so of course it was brittle, sort of. And it shattered to bits. Now, it looks like someone drilled a hole into the manifold wall. I've got it here, and have a look at it.
Right.
Well, it's no more than a quarter of an inch across, but as far as I know, there weren't any holes like that last time I did a service.
Is it a big job drilling a hole that size? Would it take long?
Half a minute with electric drill, say five with a hand drill.
If someone drilled a hole this size, what would happen?
Nothing much. Well, to make it come through the heater, you'd have to put some tubing into the hole there and stick the other end in the heater.
Do you think anyone could do all that on the spur of the moment?
Oh, yes, wouldn't take long. A quarter of an hour?
Well, I suppose you didn't see any likely pieces of tube in the wreckage.
No, just lots of little bits. I've never seen anything like it.
Did you have any difficulty with the garage people?
Oh, none. They didn't seem at all interested in what I did. They were right casual about it. Anyway, when I came away, they were letting this other chap have a good look, too.
Which other chap?
Said he was an insurance man, but he didn't have a notebook. Always crawling round our place they are looking at wrecks, and never one without a notebook.
What did he look like?
Well, it's difficult. Nobody sort of person, really. He was a bit flummox-like, finding the car all in small bits. This chap important, then?
Only if he was looking for what you found.
Cripes.
Exactly. So I'd like you to put that piece of metal somewhere very, very safe until I can collect it, okay?
All right, you are, Mr. Hughes.
And Derek, many thanks. Many thanks indeed. Who's there?
What? Right, mate. You're awake, so you'll answer some questions.
Mr. Oakley, I presume.
Clever Mr. Hughes. Not many people recognise my voice. Now, that's for starters. Where is it?
What?
A chunk of metal with a hole in it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where is it?
I told you I...
You haven't a hope. Face facts. Where is it?
Who wants it?
Contact.
What's he paying you for it?
None of your bloody business, you... Just... Tell me, where is it?
Get... Oh, come on. Come on, operator. Answer.
Won't you ever learn to keep your door shut? Finding you flat out is becoming a habit.
Oh, it's daylight.
It's 10:30. It's an awful mess.
Yes, isn't it?
You're taking it coolly. Did you get the same treatment as the flat? Are you all right?
Oh, more or less.
But why?
Being stubborn.
You mean you could have avoided all this and didn't?
If there's a good reason for backing down, you back down. If there isn't, don't.
You're crazy. Have you called the police?
Not their quarrel.
Who did it?
Your father and I have got our licenses back.
No.
It'll be official within the next few days.
Oh, how wonderful. Who told you?
Lord Firth.
Oh, I must go and tell Daddy.
Tell him to get on to all the owners.
Of course. Oh, they tore your wife's picture. Oh, they didn't have to do that.
Bad loser, Mr. Oakley. I'll get the bits stuck together and re-photographed.
You'd hate to lose her.
I lost her.
Yes.
It's funny. You're not a bit like her.
Who wants to be a carbon copy?
Kelly Hughes.
Hello, it's Newton Art. I hear you're getting your license back then. Talk of the meeting at Wincanton yesterday.
Yes, it's great news.
Now, by the way, the chap who backed Cherry Pie, I saw him today. Found out who he is, the Honourable Peter Foxcroft. Mean anything?
Oh, that's that. Explains a lot. Nothing sinister about it. Just old Dexter doing a bit of social climbing. Puts him one rung up to use an honourable as a runner.
And five rungs down to involve him in an inquiry.
You've got it. I wonder...
Yes?
Would you do me a considerable favour?
Depends.
Can you remember who told you about Cranfield backing Cherry Pie? Before the inquiry, I mean.
Well,
if you can, could you ask them who they told?
Well, try, but it's a tall order.
I know, a long shot. But I still want to know who told the stewards about the bet with you.
Look, you've got your license back. Why don't you let it rest?
Would you?
Perhaps not. All right, then, I'll see what I can do. Ring you back.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
What's all this?
Coming. Scotch is where you left it.
Good-o. You're taking up accountancy, new career, huh?
Here you see the great detective at work. These sheets are a sort of family tree, representing people who knew of and recommended other people to the inquiry agent, David Oakley. Dewar turned up trumps and sent me a list. One group leads to another, and so on and so on.
It's too deep for me.
Well, the other list is one that Newtonarts provided of people who knew that Dexter Cranfield had backed Cherry Pie and passed it on to other people. I'm looking for a link.
You clever old sod. What happens when you find it?
Then I ring up Lord Firth and tell him I know who framed us.
Good grief.
Then it's a matter of bringing the villain out into the open.
Oh, are you coming to Reading tomorrow? I've got some runners there.
Oh, I'd love to. I wonder if Roberto'd like to come.
You lecherous old sod. So that's the way the wind lies, is it?
If you're going to make facetious remarks, you can pour yourself another drink and go.
Funny you should say that.
Kelly Hughes.
Kelly, can you come over?
What's the matter? Have you forgotten we're going racing today?
Well, I don't really know if anything's the matter. Seriously, that is. But Grace Roxford has turned up. She's just sitting in her car outside the house, sort of glaring at it. She looks a bit mad. Mother wants to call the police, but I mean one can't. Can you come? She looks pretty odd.
Where's your father?
He's out on the gallops with the lads.
All right. I'll get Tony to drive me over, as soon as I've rung Jack Roxford.
Gone shopping in the village?
I know. Jack got quite a shock when he heard that she was here. He's coming over.
What I don't understand is what she's doing outside Cranfield's.
Jack said she's been upset since she heard we got our licenses back.
Oh, for God's sake.
Seems to me Grace Roxford is cracking up.
You think she could be dangerous?
Could be.
True. Hold tight, here we are.
Pull over by that Volkswagen. That must be hers.
Right now. She's probably inside having a quiet cup of tea.
Let's hope so. I'll go and see.
Hughes, what are you doing here? Go away.
Roberta asked me over to see Grace Roxford.
Mrs. Roxford's no longer here.
But that's her car.
No.
Whose is it then?
The gardener's. Oh, Hughes, go away at once.
Very well. Bye.
What the bloody hell's going on? What?
Don't argue.
Yeah, give me those.
Drive out through the gates and come back in through the stable entrance.
You think Grace is there?
Yes. Never on this side of Doomsday would Mrs. Cranford allow her gardener to park outside her front door. I also think Mrs. Cranford was doing her best to ask for help.
Which means that Grace Roxford is dangerous.
Yes. There's a telephone in the yard. Look up a local doctor. Tell him to come smartish.
Okay.
Then wait until Cranfield comes back and stop him coming into the house. Right, drop me here. I'll get in through the back somehow.
You can't, not on crutches.
I've got to, old son. I've got to. No one here. Then where the devil? Dining room. Not a sound. Uncanny.
Hughes!
Kelly! You went away, Hughes. You went away.
Yes, Grace, but I came back to talk to Roberta.
Well, you come another step and I'll cut her throat.
What do you want, Grace?
Want? Want? Dexter Cranfield, bloody snob. I'll see he doesn't get those horses. I'm going to kill him.
How do you hope to kill him?
He'll come here, won't he? And he'll do just what I say, won't he?
Oh, for God's sake, let her go.
And then I'll stick this knife into him and not her, see?
I see. And what good will that do?
What?
Edwin Barlow could send his horses away to someone else.
No. Only Cranfield. Behind our backs, taking Byler away from us. I'm going to kill him. Then he can't have those horses.
It would have been all right, of course, if Dexter Cranfield hadn't got his license back.
Yes.
I got it back for him, Grace.
They just gave it back. They shouldn't.
I made them give it back.
You couldn't.
Yes, I did.
No! No! No!
Yes, Grace.
Kelly, don't do it.
Shut up.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Hughes. Come here or I'll cut her throat. Come here, Hughes.
Oh, Grace, please. Roberta. Oh, Mummy.
Keep still. Let her lie there, silly bitch. Well, Hughes, Are you coming?
Yes, Grace.
Nearer, Hughes. I'll kill you.
Go! Kelly!
You!
Control what she does. For God's sake, don't let go of her.
Oh. Barker's on his way.
Good.
Oh. Who'd have thought you'd had so much strength?
Grace. Dear Grace. What's the matter with her?
She's all right now. They've given her an injection.
She will be all right, won't she? Where are they taking her? Let me go with her.
I shouldn't, Jack. They're taking her to hospital. She'll be under heavy sedation. I should wait until this evening.
Anyway, Jack, haven't you got a runner this afternoon, one of Edwin Byler's horses?
That's right, I have. I'd forgotten. But Grace,
she'll be all right, I'm sure. You go to Reading with Kelly.
We really ought to be going, Kelly. My first runner's got to be declared for the second race.
Okay, right with you. Jack, you'd better come with us. Tony will drive. You go to the car, Tony. I shan't be a minute.
You better not be.
She's going to be all right, isn't she? Of course she isn't.
Are you all right?
Are you? Kelly, stay here. You don't have to go to the races.
I have an appointment with Lord Firth. Best to get this business thoroughly wrapped up.
I suppose so.
If you've got nothing better to do, would you come over tomorrow and cook me some lunch?
Do you know, I fell hopelessly in love with you when I was 12.
And then it wore off.
Yes.
Pity.
Come on, for heaven's sake, or I'll be late!
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
The jockeys, please, mount. Jockeys, please, mount.
Good afternoon, my lord.
Ah, Hughes, come along to the steward's dining room. We can find a quiet corner there.
Can we postpone it until after the second race? I want my cousin, Tony, to be there. And he has some runners. And we've got Jack Roxford with us.
Right. Best for me, too, as it happens. After the second race, then. Well, now, Hughes, you told me on the telephone that you knew who framed you and Dexter Cranfield.
Yes, sir.
Grace Roxford, Jack's wife.
My dear Roxford, I am so sorry. One could never have imagined that Grace Roxford, of all people, could have framed you.
That's right. She didn't.
But you said...
She tried to kill me this time, but not the time before. It wasn't Grace who fixed my car.
Then who?
Jack Roxford, her husband.
What the... Sit down. Please, Mr. Roxford.
But it's all nonsense. It's...
But Grace was...
Grace has, in most respects, displayed exactly opposite qualities to the person who engineered our suspension. Grace has been wild, uncontrolled, and emotional. The planning which went into getting us warned off was cool, efficient, and brutal.
But mad people are very cunning.
It wasn't Grace. It was Jack.
Why did she go to Cranfield's this morning? Why couldn't she leave things alone?
It wouldn't have done you any good. I already knew it was you.
That's impossible.
This is a very serious accusation, Hughes. I hope you have sufficiently good grounds for making it.
It started when Cranfield persuaded Edwin Byler to take his horses away from Jack Roxford and send them to him. Now, Jack has trained Byler's horses from the day he bought his first, and as Byler's fortunes grew, so did Jack's prosperity and prestige. To lose Byler meant total disaster for him. And more than that, I knew what I felt at the chance of riding those horses, so what must Jack have felt at the thought of losing them? So from the start, I wondered about Jack. Teddy Dewar sent me a list of people connected with Oakley. One of the names on that list is Jack Roxford. He did, you see, know of Oakley's existence, and he knew that Oakley would agree to provide fake evidence.
But it's all just...
Yes, I know. Circumstantial. I also asked George Newtonarth to let me have a list of the people who knew that Cranfield had backed Cherry Pie. One of the names on that list is of Grace's brother, Jack's brother-in-law.
You've taken a lot of trouble. Anything else?
Those neatly typed accusations. We could compare them with Jack's typewriter. I also looked in the boot of Jack's car this morning. He does have a large toolkit, including a hand drill. I've also got the chunk of metal with the hole in it, which he and Miss Rakeley went to such lengths to get back. Can one prove that a certain drill made a certain hole?
Well, what will happen now?
Well, it depends on Lord Firth.
Lord Firth, Kelly, I'm sorry, I have a horse to saddle for the fifth race.
Yes, yes, of course, but we'd all be obliged if you would keep this to yourself.
Sure, not a word. See you later, Kelly.
Now then, Roxford, it's your turn to speak in your defence.
It was someone else.
It certainly wasn't Grace, because Lord Gowrie was quite clear that the person who tried to blackmail him on the phone was a man.
But...
Yes, Roxford, we know about Lord Gowrie.
You can't.
You belong to the same club.
You don't understand. Grace didn't like...
Grace liked her sex natural and wouldn't stand for what you wanted.
Soon after we were married, we were having rows all the time. And I hated that because I really loved her. I've always loved her. And I felt all tangled up. She didn't understand that when I beat her, it was because of love. She said she'd leave me and divorce me for cruelty. Then a girl I knew, a street girl, told me about the club. And it was a terrific relief. And then I was all right with Grace. And we could go on being married. I couldn't believe it at first when I saw Lord Gowrie there. I saw him on the street just outside several times, but I didn't say anything. How could I? You don't go there unless you must.
How long have you known that Lord Gowrie went to the club?
2 or 3 years.
And then, when you read he'd been appointed to officiate at the inquiry, you saw what you thought was a good chance of getting Cranfield out of racing and keeping Byler's horses yourself. And when Gowrie declined to be blackmailed, you set about faking evidence which would achieve your ends.
Grace minded so much about Cranfield taking our horses. I got a bit frightened sometimes. She was so violent about him. Well, it was really because of that I tried to get Cranfield warned off. Well, he was better warned off than have Grace trying to kill him.
Did you really believe she would?
I don't know. But she was ranting about it all the time. I wanted to help her to make things right again. And it wasn't too difficult, really, once I'd set my mind to it.
Why me? Why me too?
Eh? You? Well, I've nothing against you personally, but I thought it was the only way to make it a certainty. I had a note which Cranfield had sent me after an auction when I promised not to bid against him. He paid me £50 for that favour, and the note came in very useful, too.
I see. What about West?
I paid him.
You shielded West Hughes?
Yes, well, I...
Grace was all right before the dance. Then we heard Kelly was there saying he'd been framed. And then Grace saw Cranfield's daughter and just boiled over again. I thought if Kelly were dead, it would be all right again.
I see. Well, why didn't you ask Oakley to kill me?
I did. Not worth it, he said.
Sounds like authentic Oakley.
And then you got your licenses back... And it tipped the balance for Grace. Poor Grace. Poor Grace.
Just sit there quietly a moment, Roxford. Hughes, come into the steward's office a moment, will you?
Yes, sir.
What are we to do with him?
It's gone too far now to be entirely hushed up. And if anything, he's more dangerous than Grace. Anyone who treats her badly in any way would end up as a victim of his scheming. End up ruined or dead. Anybody. Even people like me, who did her no harm at all.
You seem to understand his mind. I must say, I don't. But what you say makes sense. We can't just take away his license and leave it at that. It isn't a racing matter anymore. But Lord Gowrie...
We'll have to take his chance. Very likely you can save his reputation, but it's much more important to stop Jack Roxford doing the same sort of thing again.
Yes. All this is very distressing.
I suppose that you're going to get the police. I was wondering. Please don't tell them about the club. I won't say Lord Gowrie goes there. I never really wanted to tell anybody. It wouldn't have done any good, would it? I mean, it wouldn't have kept Byler's horses in my yard. So do you think anyone need know about the club?
No, they need not know.
Thank you. How long do you think I'll get?
No point in worrying about that until you have to.
You could possibly halve it.
How?
By giving evidence at another trial I have in mind, and taking the slippery Mr. David Oakley down with you.
Yesterday, I rode breadwinner in the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Over the second right, and no change in the order. Ironclad, then Squelch, then breadwinner, with Ladybird making a good ground and going into fourth place. Into the last. And Ironclad's gone down. Over the last, and it's Squelch safely over, with breadwinner putting in a good jump.
Come on, old son. We can't let him beat us, not Squelch. We can't. The irony of being beaten by Squelch in the Gold Cup. Come on. We're gaining. Oh, no good. There isn't enough time. Squelch is tiring. Come on. Roach is going for his whip. Don't hit him, you stupid sod. He hates it. He always...
First, number 6, Redwood. Second, number 12, Squelch. Third horse was number 3, Ladybird.
First four.
Well done, Hughes. I see now what you mean about Squelch.
Yes, he always stops if you hit him. Pity, really.
Yes.
Is there any news about the Roxfords, by the way?
Apparently, her recovery is still uncertain, but Roxford is sane in the legal sense and will have to stand trial. Psychiatrists said their only chance of leading normal lives was to make the separation permanent.
Sad solution.
Well, you never know. Once they get over it, they might feel, well, released. Damn it. Your outlook is catching. Yeah. How about our dinner?
Anytime.
Tomorrow, is it?
Fine.
Have you had any word from the police?
About Oakley. They almost fell on my neck sobbing when they realized I had enough evidence to make the accusation stick. It'll be a long time before Mr. Oakley fakes any more evidence.
We're very glad to hear it.
Well, if you'll excuse me, my lord, I have somebody waiting. Or rather, I hope I have.
Yes, of course. Tomorrow night, then.
You waited then?
Of course. It was a wonderful race.
Your father didn't seem very impressed in the enclosure.
Oh, nothing to do with you. Edwin Byler had just told him that he won't be sending us his horses after all.
Why not?
Apparently, Grace Roxford's psychiatrist thinks that her ultimate sanity might depend on Danny's not having the horses.
Mm.
Byler said he felt he owed the Roxfords something. Sorry and all that, but there it was.
Some you lose, some you win.
Winning and losing. That's what it's all about.
Racing?
Life. Today's marvellous. Being warned off was terrible. Up and down.
I suppose so.
I've learned a lot since the inquiry.
So have I. About you.
Father says I should remember your background.
That's true. You must.
Father's mind has chains on, iron bars in his soul. Please tell me. At the level crossing, when you called me Rosalind, was it her you wanted?
No. It was you, in her place.
That's all right, then, isn't it?
In Inquiry by Dick Francis, dramatised by Barry Campbell, the part of Kelly Hughes was played by Tony Osoba, Lord Firth by Robert Lang, Lord Gowrie by Jack May, Roberta, Selina Cadell, Dexter Cranfield, Philip Voss, Mrs. Cranfield, Eva Stewart, Archie, Michael McKevitt, Grace Roxford, Thelma Whiteley, Jack Roxford, David Sinclair, Tony, David Saville, Charlie West, William Nye, Oakley, Michael Graham Cox, Newton Ards, John Renane, with Brian Carroll, Lolly Cockerell, Philip Fox, Gordon Reed, and Jenny Twigg. Technical presentation by David Greenwood, assisted by David Hitchinson and Diana Barkham. The play was directed by Jane Morgan,